As has been already said, Memorial Day is tomorrow. Originally established in 1868 to honor the fallen soldiers of the Civil War. It was a specific holiday for the Civil War. So many died in that Civil War. It was extended later to be a Remembrance Day for all fallen soldiers, men, women of all wars. Originally, it was called Decoration Day, because families would decorate the graves of their loved ones with flowers and flags. I read a story that I thought was kind of fun. A little boy went to church and saw a Memorial Day display of photos of those who had lost their lives defending their nations. The little boy asked the pastor about the display. The pastor said, "These are pictures of men from our church who have died in the service." Little boy asked, "The morning service or the evening service?" We haven't had that happen yet. Memorial Day has grown to have a much broader application nowadays. Now people use it to remember all loved ones, whether they're veterans or not, who have passed away. So a lot of people go to cemeteries and decorate the graves of their loved that have passed away. Let me ask you, how will you be remembered when you're gone? You're going to be gone. We're all going to be, right? I mean, I hope it's a long ways away for all of us, but it could be this week. The Bible says, "It is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment." There's an appointment with death. We don't know that appointment. God does. The older I get, which I became 1 year older today, the more I ask myself, what will be my legacy? I've learned that we all leave a legacy. Every one of us leaves a legacy. Sometimes a good legacy, hopefully a good legacy, lasting legacy. Sometimes it's a bad legacy. Sometimes it's kind of a mediocre legacy. I've titled my message today, Leaving a Lasting Legacy. And our text is Psalm 112, verse 6. It says, "The righteous will be remembered forever." The righteous will be remembered forever. How will you be remembered? What will be your legacy? Let me be very specific. I'm going to pause between each statement. I want you to think this through. How will your family remember you? Your family. How will your spouse remember you? Don't elbow her. How will your children remember you? What will they have to say about you someday? How will your siblings, how will they remember you? What's your relationship with your family, your siblings? How will your coworkers remember you? How about your neighbors? How are they going to remember you? Will it be a positive memory or will it be a negative? Will you be remembered for your love, for your kindness? We just read it with the children about the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience. I hope that they say that was that person. He was filled with love and kindness and gentleness and peace. Or will you be remembered for your harshness, for your criticalness? Will it be a successful legacy or a distressful legacy? Will it be an effective legacy or a defective legacy? I've had the occasion to do a lot of memorial services. Memorial services are to remember the person, celebrate their life. In preparation for those funerals and those kind of events, I meet with the family and say, "Tell me about your mother. Tell me about your father. Tell me about this one who's passed away." Sadly, once in a while, they have nothing positive to say. Not one positive thing. They say, "We just can't say anything." So I've got the assignment of doing a memorial service for somebody nobody wants to remember. What will your family have to say about you? When I meet with your family, what are they going to tell me about you? I don't know you. I know you an hour or so on Sunday mornings. God knows you. God knows your heart. Now, I have good news for you. You're not dead yet. Right? You still have time to make a difference, to change your legacy, to improve your legacy. You have time to change your life, change your ways, and be remembered for something positive instead of just negative. Today we're going to do something a little different than a normal sermon. We're going to play a game together. I call it the Legacy Game. I'm going to throw out a name of famous people from the past, some from the world, some from the Bible, ancient history. And you are going to respond with either a thumbs up, that means he's got a positive legacy, or a thumbs down. Or maybe in the middle, if you're not really sure. Now, if you don't know who the person is, don't vote. But let's add degrees. Let's say there's way up. Well, that guy can really, he made a difference in his world. Or that person really made a mess of his life. All right, you ready? We'll begin with a few people from history, then we'll discuss a few from the Bible. We're going to see 25 people today. You're going to meet 25 characters today. Are you ready? Adolf Hitler. Way down. No neo-Nazis in here, right? Nobody got their thumbs up for Adolf Hitler. We know who he was. He was the leader of the Nazi Party of Germany, who became a crazy dictator who killed millions of Jews. What a legacy. Aren't you glad he didn't have children? Had to live up to his name. How about number two? Abraham Lincoln. These guys lived their lives, and one left a positive legacy, one left a negative legacy. We have a choice of what we do with our life. Abraham Lincoln was a poor country lawyer who became our 16th president. He successfully led our country through the Civil War. He helped end slavery. Unfortunately, his life was taken too soon, wasn't it? All right, number three, how about Saddam Hussein? Way down. He was a dictator, president of Iraq, who ruthlessly killed an estimated 200,000 Kurdish civilians during his reign of terror. He was finally hanged for his crimes against humanity in 2006. That part's way up. You believe in capital punishment, I take it. Number four, Mother Teresa. I see lots of thumbs up. She's a Catholic nun who ministered for 45 years to the poor, the sick, the orphaned, the least of these, the dying people of India. And she's remembered today for her work among the poor people. How about Osama bin Laden? Al-Qaeda leader responsible for many terrorist attacks against America, especially the 9/11 attacks that killed nearly 3,000 Americans. He, by the way, was assassinated in 2011. Let's not forget these people and the impact they made for good or for evil. How about number six? How about Billy Graham? All right. Greatest evangelist who ever lived. His legacy is firmly established. He was a spiritual advisor for 12 presidents. He preached to millions, they estimate about, I wrote it down here, 210 million people live, plus so many that he reached by television. He had crusades, he called them, not revival meetings, but crusades, where he would preach the gospel, people would come forward. I went forward at a Billy Graham crusade in Portland, Oregon in 1968. But he did that from the 40s, I think 1947, all the way to 2005, through six decades of preaching and sharing his faith. I wonder if we'll have a legacy of sharing our faith. I mean, that's all Billy Graham was about, is sharing his faith to the multitudes. Let's look at a few Bible characters. Again, if you know who they are, you can vote. If you don't, you can abstain. If you don't know who these are, then you need to be reading your Bible. And these are famous people, all right? If you go, well, I don't know any of these people, that means you need to get plugged into a church, open up your book, and start reading. Adam. Well, wait a minute, I've seen a mixed bag here. All right. For those of you new, let me explain why Adam's a mixed bag. He was the most brilliant man who ever lived. Probably the greatest specimen of a human being, because he's made handmade by God in the image of God. Brilliant, strong. He named the animals. He ruled the world. He subdued the garden. Yet we know that somewhere in his life, we don't know how many years he lived on in that perfect form, but we remember what happened. He disobeyed God. And he took that fruit, he and his wife, and ate that fruit and disobeyed God. And we read in Romans 10, 5:12, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, so the death spread to all men. So we're all been affected by Adam's sin. We all have his sin nature within us. So Adam's a mixed bag. He's remembered for his greatness. He's also remembered for his failure. Will you, like Adam, leave a legacy of disobeying God, failing the test, disregarding what God says, or you'll obey him? Number 8, how about Cain? Cain's the one on top. That doesn't look like a good picture. Those of you who know that story know that Cain let his anger get the best of him, his jealousy, his envy, and he slew his brother Abel in a field. He let his anger become hatred, and his hatred become murder. I wonder if some of you have a legacy of anger. You haven't killed anybody yet, but Jesus said if you're angry at your brother, you're guilty as if you've killed him. A lot of men have anger issues. We explode. I remember one time I was on a job site. We were framing in an addition to a house, and the carpenter had ordered all a certain size studs. He didn't pre-measure. He just started building the walls, and then when he lifted the walls up, he realized that they were all off. I can't remember if they were all too short or all too long, but instead of going, great, what a mistake I made, he went crazy, started throwing shovels and hammers and kicking walls down, and we all just got back and watched Crazy Frank. He had anger issues. I can't imagine what happened with his family and his wife and his children if that's the way he exploded on a job site. Men, don't let anger get the best of you. Women, you either. Number 9, Noah. Noah. I see lots of hands up. He'll be remembered forever as the one who obeyed God when the rest of his world didn't. He found favor in the eyes of God. And he obeyed God, and he built an ark that would save his family and two of every creature. Fantastic man of God who bridged from the old world to the new world after the flood. Will you be remembered for your obedience to God even when things are hard? I'm sure he got mocked and ridiculed. Took 120 years to build that ark. He and his family were saved, though, as a result of his steadfastness. Number 10, Abraham. How is he remembered? Abraham. I see thumbs up. He's called the father of faith. You better remember him in a positive way. I know he had some mistakes. He told some lies. He wasn't always as honest as he could have been. But for the most part, he's called the father of faith. He's the man who left his home in obedience to God and went to a place that he'd never seen called the Promised Land. He couldn't get online and check out the Promised Land. He couldn't fly there and check it out. He just went obeying God. It was a huge step of faith. Will you be remembered for your faith, following God no matter what? Number 11, how about King Saul? Ooh, I see some down thumbs. He began well. I mean, he was tall. He was handsome. He was even humble. He was the people's choice. This is the right guy for our king. But you remember, it wasn't long until he compromised, began disobeying God, clinging to his power, trying to chase David off with a spear. Will you be remembered like Saul as a compromiser? Will you be remembered as one who failed to finish strong? I hope not. How about King David, number 12? King David. I see positive. You know, if we talked about Saul having no heart for God and David having a what? Whole heart for God. A man after God's own heart. He's the boy who stepped forward when and everyone else was fearful and faced a giant and won Goliath. He became a national hero, eventually became a great king. He's the leader of worship. He restored the Ark of the Covenant to the tabernacle and said, we need to be worshiping God. He wrote most of our Psalms. We know he committed some sins. We know he forgot God for a year or so and committed adultery and got involved with the wrong crowd. But eventually he came back. We read about that in Psalm 51. Will you leave a legacy of loving God with all your heart? When you pass, like I say, my dad is just like David. He had a man, he was a man after God's own heart. Number 13, how about Elijah? Well, I see thumbs up. You better put thumbs up. Yep. But a lot of you don't know who he is, maybe. He's remembered for standing up in an evil world. He challenged the prophets of Baal, or 450 of them. There's a picture of that there. He called down fire from heaven on his offering and defeated the prophets of Baal. He basically said, there's not enough room in this town for God and idols. So let's have a showdown. And God won. He won an overwhelming victory. He did many miracles. He even raised a little boy back to life again. Amazing prophet of God, and unique in the sense that he didn't have to die. They said a chariot of fire came and took him off to heaven without death. Fantastic man of God. Will you be remembered for standing up in your culture for the things of God? Number 14, how about Queen Jezebel? Boo. We had to include a lady in this group. She was the one who opposed Elijah. She's the one who said, I'm going to kill Elijah. She promoted Baal worship. She manipulated her weak husband, Ahab. And she murdered a man over a vineyard. She wanted his vineyard, so she had him killed. What happened to Queen Jezebel? Did she live her life in peace? She died a violent death. I'll give you the PG rating. She was thrown out a window, trampled by horses, and eaten by dogs. That's a pretty rough way to go, wouldn't you say? Will you be remembered like Jezebel, as a manipulator? As an intimidator? You know, not too many people name their daughter Jezebel. That's not a good namesake. Number 15, how about Job? What's his, okay, it should be way up. He suffered the greatest loss that you can even imagine at the hands directly of Satan. He lost his livestock. He was a wealthy owner of many flocks. He lost his family, his 10 children. Let me say that again. He lost his 10 children, his health. He had boils all over. And he stayed true to God through it all. He never denied his faith. You know what he did say? He said, naked I came into the world, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave naked, and God is in charge. I trust him no matter what. Wow. We've all heard of the patience of Job. Will you be remembered for your patience, for your perseverance, for hanging in there? Even when things go hard, I know things go hard. In this world, you'll have tribulation. It's going to be hard times. Will you be remembered one who said, I'll stay faithful to God no matter what? Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. How about number 16, Job's wife? Sorry, another lady that's a negative. I'm sorry. She told Job, curse God and die, Job. Will you leave a legacy of criticism, of discouragement? That's all we remember about Job's wife. So far, we've only looked at Old Testament characters. How about some New Testament? Number 17, how about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Oh, blessed Mary. Imagine her thoughts as that angel told her, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. You're going to have a child without a husband. Without the cooperation of a husband, you'll have a child who will be from the Lord. She was young, probably just a teenager. She was unmarried. She was engaged, but not married. She was a virgin. She was poor. Yet what did she say? She says, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. I'll submit to what you have, God." I chose this picture because Jesus looks like he knows more than Mary at this point. Isn't that a cute picture? Like looking at his mother that he chose. At the mother that he was born into to save the world. Will you leave a legacy like Mary of submission to God, no matter, even if you can't understand what's going on? You'll obey, submit. Number 18, John the Baptist. I see a thumbs up there. Amazing prophet of God and the pre-runner of Jesus. He was sent to prepare hearts for Christ to come. When asked about John, here's what Jesus said. Let's see if Jesus gives him a thumbs up or a thumbs down. He says, "There has not arisen anyone greater than John." He says, "I'm going to give him the highest rating of all. No one has ever lived, no prophet has ever lived greater than John the Baptist." So Jesus gives us a thumbs up. That's pretty good. Will we get the thumbs up from Christ for our faithfulness to him? Will he say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," like he did with John the Baptist? Number 19, how about Peter? Yeah, better be thumbs up there. He was the leader of the disciples. Impulsive, sometimes did some things that were kind of quick-tempered. He even denied Jesus 3 times. So he's got some negatives about him. But he became the leader of the early church. He preached and 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. He became a great and powerful influential leader in the early church. It was he that met with Cornelius and included the Gentiles in. Will you be remembered for your spiritual leadership, for standing up for God and making a difference like Peter? Number 20, Judas. Yeah. He was also a prominent disciple, stood right there by Peter, ministered with Peter, heard all the same stories, watched all the same miracles. He was even entrusted with the money. He was the treasurer of the group. But his true colors finally came out. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. He turned away from Christ. What a sad, sad story to be so close to Jesus, yet so far away in your heart. You know, you can be close to Jesus in the sense of being in church, being in a Christian family, being around Christianity, but only God knows your heart. And God knew his heart, that he was a traitor. Don't leave a legacy of being a hypocrite, of being a fake like Judas. Number 21, the Apostle Paul. Thumbs up, way up. He began as a persecutor of the church, started out pretty bad, but he became a preacher of the church, right? Christ transformed him into the greatest leader of the early church, the greatest missionary, the greatest writer. He wrote most of our New Testament. When you get a letter of Romans, it's written by Paul. Galatians, Paul, Ephesians, Paul, Timothy, Paul. Paul wrote these letters that became our Bible. Fantastic man of God. Will you leave a legacy of devotion to God, using your life, even while in prison, to impact others for Christ? Number 22, Barnabas. I don't see too many thumbs. Maybe we don't know who Barnabas is. Open your Bible. Start reading your Bible. Barnabas is one of the greatest characters of the book of Acts. He's not as well known as the 12 apostles, but he's one of the closest that weren't in the 12. Very important in the early church. His name, Barnabas, means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. And he lived up to his name. When Saul became a believer, Paul, don't go backwards. We're still there we are. I don't want to go backward. Got to go forward. Barnabas is the one who sold his property and gave money to help. And he brought in Paul and introduced him to the saints. Said, "This guy's a believer now." He trusted him. He became a fellow missionary with Paul. Paul and Barnabas went on journeys, missionary journeys. He embraced a young man who had fallen away named John Mark. and it brought him back in. So he's always reaching out to the people that were just right on the outskirts of Christianity, and he brought them in. Everyone else might have rejected Paul, not Barnabas. They might have rejected John Mark for his failure, not Barnabas. He encouraged. Will you leave a legacy of encouragement? He actually sold his property and gave the money to feed the poor. That's an amazing thing. How about the next one? Ananias and Sapphira. What's your thumbs here? Okay, yeah, most those of you who know him, them, are pointing down. Okay? They agreed together to lie and deceive. They wanted to show off their giving. They wanted the applause of men. So they came in to Peter and says, we've sold some property just like Barnabas, and we want to give all of our money to the poor, when in reality they held back some for themselves. Now, there was nothing wrong with holding back. It's just that they were hypocritical. They were saying, we're giving everything to God, when really they were withholding part of it back. Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Can you lie to God? Can you lie to God? Don't pretend. Don't be a hypocrite, he says. And Ananias passes away. And then Sapphira comes in and says the same story. She passes away. Will you leave a legacy of deception? A liar? A hypocrite? Number 24. Priscilla and Aquila. There's your thumbs up. That's the couple that's positive. The other couple was negative. This is a positive. And this is way up. You know what? We don't have one recorded word from Aquila or Priscilla in the Bible. But we have a lot about their actions. They showed hospitality to the early church. There's always churches meeting in their homes. Several books of the Bible you'll see in the New Testament that they met in Priscilla and Aquila's home in different cities. So it's like they followed the disciples and provided housing for them, opening their homes to the church. They were tent makers. And they worked with Paul and mentored Paul and helped him, supported him. All you read about them is serving others. Will you leave a legacy of service, of hospitality, of using your resources to advance the gospel, your home? You don't have to be a preacher. He wasn't a preacher. She wasn't a preacher. But you can sure be helpful. By the way, there was a young pastor that came along named Apollos, who was very eloquent in preaching, but he had a partial message. He didn't know the whole truth. So they brought him in, and they tutored him and mentored him and got him back on the right track. So they were mentors for Paul and Apollos, two of the great men of the Bible, Aquila and Priscilla. How about number 25? How about Tabitha? Don't see too many votes here. Well, let's call her Dorcas. That's her other name. Does that help? No. She's in Acts chapter 9. An amazing thing happened to her at her memorial service. The people are all there talking about her. She's passed away. They've got her laid out on a bed. And as they're recalling her legacy, her deeds of kindness, her charity, she must have been very helpful towards the poor. Peter came in and supernaturally raised her back to life again. He interrupted a funeral. Talking about Jesus interrupting funerals, always raising people back. He raised this lady back to life. Now, I don't think you're going to have that legacy of being raised back to life, but you can have a legacy like hers of generosity, of charity, of helping others. Okay, that's 25. Is that enough? The message gotten through yet? We looked at 25. We could look at 25 more if you want to be here all day. What will be your legacy? How will you be remembered? Fortunately, you still have time to build a godly, lasting heritage, to improve your legacy, to change your reputation. You can change. Christ transforms people. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, all things become new. You can change. Ultimately, it's God's opinion that matters the most. There's an old saying about you can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. I want to add a fourth. You can't fool God anytime. You can pretend to be something you're not, but God knows your heart. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. Ask yourself, is my life pleasing to God? will I get his stamp of approval? Will he say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your reward? Will he say that of you? In Hebrews we read, without faith it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? You have to have faith in him. You have to live for him. The greatest thing you can do to improve your legacy is give your heart and life fully to Christ. Follow him all the days of your life. Live for him. Devote your life to him. And you'll be like these who left a good legacy. Do you want to make a difference in your life? Want to leave a good legacy? Let me tell you a little secret. This is how you can narrow it all down. Invest your life in three things only. It's all that matters. Number one is God, because he will be forever, right? God's word and God's people. Evaluate everything you do. Are you using your skills, your finances, your energy to please God, to promote God's word, and to minister to God's people? Then you're going to be remembered well. Don't waste your time chasing after those temporary treasures, things that are just going to rust and go away. Don't waste your time on the temporary thrills. That's okay to have some fun in life. But make it your goal to please God, to promote his word, and to minister to his people. And you'll be remembered with a lasting legacy. I'll end as I began with this verse. The righteous will be remembered forever. You'll be remembered if you live for Christ. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Memorial Day. We can remember back to those who give the ultimate price of their lives for their country. Lord, help us to give our lives for you, to lay down our life, to follow you in every way. And Lord, help us to make a difference. Help us to think twice before we criticize and be angry and hurtful, because that's what people will remember us for. Lord, help us to love them, overlook their sins, their issues. Love covers a multitude of sins. Lord, help us to love and encourage others in our life. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name.